love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this feisty Monday morning. You can hear it in my voice on the early line on Sports Grid. He is my former friend, Donnie Wrightside, and I am
Red leather, yellow leather. Get warmed up, baby. Listen, let's get warmed up.
We can get a little bit heated at one
does
another.
Does it make good TV?
It does.
Makes great TV,
come on,
man. You let the feelings out. You blow through segments here. You yell at each other. You get it out, man. I feel like I'm back like 15 years ago, my online styles right now, Ben. Got the juices going today. I love it.
I feel like I'm the big man battling it out with Wrightside in a lively debate.
Plenty of those,
at
man.
This. All right. Plenty so as we get you set for this third and final hour, we will talk with the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, up next about the injury analysis that you need ending the Sunday slate in the rest of the home stretch of this season. Proper perspective on this Monday with Tom Vecchio in just a little bit as well. And of course, we continue to break down Monday Night Football tonight in LA, the Chargers in the Ravens, John Harbaugh and Baltimore against his brother Jim Harbaugh and Los Angeles. DRS, what is the best bet for Monday Night Football? We had to hear from the people. We find out now for Monday Night in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, what is the best bet for Monday Night Football? The Ravens as a slight road favorite, laying 2.5 now. The Chargers as the home dog, over 50.5, a pretty steep total, or under that number, sub 50. The first time the Chargers have played with an over-under at 50 or higher this year. Most of the public, DRS, the Ravens laying 2.5 on the road tonight to win their eighth game of this season.
Yeah, 39.5% exactly here on the updated numbers through a couple hundred votes. I wonder what that poll would actually be if that was Ravens -3, Chargers +3, how many votes that would absolutely swing, because you're basically picking the team to win the football game by at least a field goal, not more than a field goal, and I think that's a big difference. The talent discrepancy, I do think, goes towards the Ravens, the better and more talented side, but that doesn't win football games, particularly on the road against a quality opponent in the Chargers. It's up to Herbert. So sometimes you take a look at like betting environments of what you have. How do you think the Ravens win this game? Is it Derrick Henry, 20 carries, 133 yards and 2 scores? Or is it actually Lamar Jackson's arm and him scrambling there? Same thing with the Chargers. Is this really a game where J.K. Dobbins rushes 20 times for over 100 yards and a touchdown? Or against that Ravens fast and physical front seven, is it more of an air attack at this point? So even if you're saying, you know what, it looks pretty even cut down the line for me, maybe you dip into that prop market, but I'm going to keep it real. Like all week long, I looked at that line and say, you know what? This is a pretty good Ravens spot here. Lamar Jackson, absolutely a terror on turf. I don't know who catches him tonight. I'm going to lean with the former two-time MVP tonight to pull this one out by at least a field goal in the Ravens.
And DRS, you know what's really interesting about this football game? As you have said, you would expect it to be a grind it out on the ground type of contest. It's what Harbaugh and the Ravens want to do with both Lamar and, of course, the King in Derrick Henry. It is what Harbaugh And Greg Roman, the former OC, by the way, in Baltimore. And the Chargers want to do as well. But is it really? Now, the Ravens DRS are the second best rushing defense in the National Football League. The Chargers might know that the Ravens are the worst passing defense in the National Football League and maybe can get them through the air. The Ravens also are a team that have played in so many overs this season, so we could expect them to do the same. The Ravens so far this season, 11 games, 7-4, over in 9 of 11. I wonder, DRS, as we look at the total here, does 50.5 feel just a little bit high? Like you're paying the premium for the over-under tonight? Or do you think we see a ton of offense in Los Angeles?
No, it's a good point you bring up, too, because that 50.5 seems about right here. It's not like, hey, 53.5, it's too high, but they still wanted to put that number above 50 because there are two thoughts that can happen in this game. Both of these teams want to impose their will. Both understand what the stakes are, because if you take a look at this game, Ben, maybe if we played it in week two, a little bit more air out, not really understanding what the MO of each football team is going to be this season and playing things out, new plays get put into the equation. These guys have watched 10 games of film on each other, and you're going to line up in this game where two brothers know each other like the back of their palm to be able to line up. Again, I do think it's up to the Chargers to start out early and be aggressive, but we know Harbaugh. He would love nothing more than a 7-8 play drive to open the game, eat up 6 minutes, and maybe even come away with just a field goal to set the tone for this game. But I want to see the aggression out there. I'm not so happy with going over the total in this game because, again, I just explained it, where two really good football teams on a primetime environment, let's see what happens. But we're not worried about any weather conditions. Both teams come out somewhat healthy outside of that Ladd McConkey, who might be a game-time decision tonight. So for me, I probably would lean more the under, but still take the Ravens as the favorite.
Yeah, so I'm having a difficult time really looking at this spread. To your point, DRS, 3 points feels like it could be very critical. But we have mentioned the Chargers now as a favorite in 8 of 10 games. They have won 7 of those 8. They have covered in all 7 victories. They were a slight home favorite last week against the Bengals on Sunday night at home. Second consecutive week and a primetime marquee matchup for the Bolts. Second consecutive night that SoFi Stadium is going to host a primetime game to end out a slate in the National Football League. But as an underdog, twice this year for the Chargers. Week 3 against the Steelers, following Sunday against the Chiefs. Now, the Chargers were banged up in that game. No covers, no wins. 0-2 both straight up and against the spread. The Ravens have been favored in all 10 games since that season opener in KC. They have won 7, and they are 5-5 against the number. Of course, a big story tonight is the brothers facing off. John Harbaugh and the Ravens, Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. Most notably, DRS, these two brothers met, of course, way back in the Super Bowl. In fact, they met twice in that 2-year span for Jim Harbaugh. They met in his first year in San Francisco in 2011. That game in Baltimore, the Ravens got the best of the Niners, 16-6. And of course, in the Super Bowl the following year in 2012, John, the better of, I believe Jim is his younger brother. I'm pretty sure about that. John got the better
of
his brother. John's the older, right?
I think Jim's the younger. Jim's the older, right? He looks older to me. I don't know. Yeah, check on that one. They got within like a year or two anyway? John is the, wow, that's crazy.
John is older,
holy
yeah.
Moly. Yeah, that's wild. Yeah. But that.
Another win in a debate for Ben Stevens this morning, if I do say so myself. DRS, let's talk about those quarterbacks right now. If we do expect this to be an aerial attack. Look at Justin Herbert's prop, 261.5. In the first few games this season, for the Bolts, 237 yards or less. In the first 4 games this year for LA, less than 180 for Herbert. But a number that in 3 of the last 4, he has skied over. 4 of the last 5. And here's what's been pretty crazy about Herbert this year. 13 touchdowns. All right, not that many. But 13 touchdowns, DRS, to only 1 interception. The onus has been off of his right arm, and he is playing some highly efficient football.
Yeah, let's say 261 and a half. Let's call it like 250 right now. We'll just use that as the demarcation line. If you think the Chargers can win this football game with him throwing for less than 250 yards, I don't think that happens. So conversely, yeah, on the opposite side, he could throw for 250 plus and they can still lose this game. So sometimes you try to break it down to its simple element, like how do you think this game plays out? I don't think that the Chargers run all over the Ravens front seven and he just mixes in 25 passes in this game. I really believe that he has to continue on that streak. And there's probably maybe no better thrower of the football than Herbert. Again, it just comes down to, does he have all his weapons on the outside? That's what I'm looking for. He's got to throw if they want to win.
Prop breakdown later in the hour. The Pro Football Talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On tonight in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I call it the Brother Bowl, and I actually am bringing my son because it's a one-off game. I don't need to be in the war room, so I'll be there. And yeah, I love Jim Harbaugh. A lot of great stories, a lot of great times about him. Love his leadership, etc. And I think it'll be an interesting game.
We appreciate that, Dr. Chow. Safe travels up to Los Angeles, of course. So before we get to Monday night, let's look back on the injuries from a Sunday slate. And Dr. Chow, if I can direct your attention to the bottom of this graphic here, it's not just players on a Sunday. Sometimes it's Sports Grid hosts who go through a difficult weekend. Our Donnie Wrightside battling through an injured back. Dr. Chow, he's got about 45 minutes left of this show before being there for Monday Night Football and an in-studio watch-along. How would you recommend to Mr. Wrightside he takes care of that ailing back?
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you do the show just the headshot from a jacuzzi or something? And then, you know.
That's exactly the answer I needed right there. Like, why am I not in a jacuzzi? Why is not Ben doing this solo show here? Because, Ben needs me. I'm here for him. It's the way we do it, Doc.
Well, what about you're not the only one, Donnie. What about Mike Tirico? The shot of his Achilles tendon rupture during Sunday Night Football, huh?
I mean, that's, look, man, we fight. We fight on TV. We might not be on the field anymore, but we fight, man. We do.
Yes, he certainly does. All right, Dr. Chow, let's get to the actual injuries from Sunday, although we wish Donnie a very speedy recovery. Dr. Chow, last night, and despite being a veteran at 36, it was the 36-year-old edge rusher Brandon Graham suffering a torn triceps injury for the Philadelphia Eagles. Had a sack of Matthew Stafford early in the opening half. Dr. Chow, when you see that diagnosis, a torn triceps, what does that mean for the remainder of this season for Brandon Graham?
Well, certainly the 36-year-old was playing like a 26-year-old, right? I mean, he was playing very, very well last night and in some ways dominating. He admitted afterwards he had some triceps tendonitis, and this is a triceps tendon rupture. If it were a muscle tear, he'd have a chance to come back for a playoff run. This is a tendon rupture. He's in the locker room. He lifted up his elbow and showed it, and there was a defect there. And that means surgery, and there's no way for him to come back this season, unfortunately. And, you know, it does seem like the end of a great 15-year career there. But that's a tough blow. But he was proud of his effort and say, look, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to leave it on the field. And that's kind of what he did last night. He helped the Eagles dominate that game.
Yeah, he was fantastic last night. Certainly wish Big BG the best of him. But if we are looking for towards Turkey Day here, a couple banged up Lions, Doc. First, David Montgomery left the game with a shoulder injury. And then we saw Taylor Decker, offensive tackle, leave with a knee and an ankle. Any updates on them? And also the chances that possibly could play on Thanksgiving?
I think it's optimistic that both will play on Thanksgiving. Montgomery was available to return, Decker as well. It's a short week, I get it. But, you know, the Lions are used to playing this game. They're at home against the Bears, and I think it'll be they'll both be able to go. Not so much for Gardner Minshew that you show up on the graphic there. Mm.
Yeah, so Doc, let's go to Gardner Minshew. It's been a precarious season for the Raiders. They have now lost seven consecutive games. What is going to be the move at the quarterback position for Las Vegas moving forward with the collarbone injury to Gardner Minshew yesterday?
Yeah, he broke his clavicle, so undoubtedly surgery, and he's done for the season. Look, the Raiders aren't making the playoffs. He's done for the season after surgery. So they're already out Aiden O'Connell right now with his thumb injury and fracture. Gardner Minshew now out. Now you're back to Desmond Ridder. And is there a Daniel Jones appearance there? I don't know, right? That's a decision made by former Chargers GM, now Raiders GM, Tom Telesco. And we'll see what happens.
Doc, let's head over to Monday Night Football because we got a massive game tonight between the Baltimore Ravens and the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm worried about the Chargers at wide receiver, and that guy I'm worried about is Ladd McConkey. Can you ease my fears tonight for Ladd McConkey playing?
Ladd McConkey's shoulder AC joint is better than your back, Donnie, all right? So does that ease your fear?
I
think he will be fine to go. The thing about the Chargers is in Jim Harbaugh, they're built on their offensive line. And remember, a few weeks back, they had offensive line issues. They're all healthy now. You saw them last week against the Bengals. The issues more are on the Ravens side of the ball. Roquan Smith defensively, look, he's listed as questionable. I don't buy it for 1 second. I don't see how he can play. And if he plays with that hamstring, he'll be a liability, not the sideline to sideline guy. And, you know, Michael Pierce is already out with the calf, and Travis Jones with his, what appears to us to be high ankle sprain, seems very iffy or vulnerable. So the front seven of the Ravens are the ones to watch out for. And the advantage goes to Jim over John in this department.
And that front seven of the Ravens has been elite at slowing down the run this year, second best in the NFL. It's been the secondary with some questions. We just flashed up that field view, Doc, at sports, SICScore.com, Sports Injury Central, of course, of how the Ravens are on the offensive side of the football. Is Baltimore looking relatively healthy on that side of their equation tonight?
Yeah, you know, they're relatively healthy there, and the Chargers defensively have gotten healthier. Joey Bosa is off the injury report, full go. Khalil Mack is listed as questionable. He's got a chance to go. But impressively, the Chargers haven't been reliant up front on just Bosa and Mack. Puna Ford and others have really stepped up there, and this is why Jesse Minter is getting all this consideration for being a head coach. Their defense has been balling, even with Mack and Bosa dinged up for part of the season.
Best scoring defense in the NFL entering week 12's finale on this Monday night, LA allowing just 14.5 points per game. Dr. Chow, safe travels up there to SoFi Stadium for Monday Night Football. We appreciate the time. We'll talk some NBA action up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pretty good slate tonight in the association around the NBA with your two premier NBA handicappers live right here on this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. Listen, we've reached the time of the year, right? Some colds going around. Everybody's dealing with something. DRS, he's got a back issue that he's powering through. The blood was flowing in that second hour. He's feeling loosey-goosey now because of that second hour and the heated debate around college football. My voice straining. I'm hoping I can make it through this and an hour on the radio on Football Full Circle. And it's a good thing, DRS, that we had the doc on last segment. I asked him about your back, but not about my throat. Free MLB primetime picks, our guy, saying in case my neck vein pops, which it was very close to doing, it was good to have the doc on. Outside of maybe some throat lozenges or maybe some tea later this afternoon, I'm battling right now, DRS.
Well, it's the tough part is, too, when you get on the radio, you got to carry the other guy you're with. I mean, you might have 57 minutes of talking to 3 minutes of the other guy talking at that point. So you got to sort of battle through that, set the tone, maybe ask more questions here. Hopefully Joe gives you elongated answers and say, you know what, help me. But we know he's not going to. What's it going to be like? Joe, what do you think about LSU? Ah, love him this week. And they're like, all right, I got to keep talking at this point now. Joe, what do you think about the SEC championship game? Ah, LSU's not out of it. All right, so let's keep moving at this point. But, yeah, you're going to have to save up your stamina for that hour, no doubt about it.
You know, it's tough too, DRS. A lot of college football focus as we're going to kind of preview the final weekend of the regular season on Football Full Circle. If for any reason, now I trust Lisi's opinion, oddly enough, to say a little bit more than yours when it comes to college football. So I don't think I'm going to have to yell nearly as much. But if things get feisty again, oh boy, could be a tough day for Joe Ranieri on the early line tomorrow. Anyway, what?
Gutless. That's what he's going to call it a couple times. He go against him.
Gutless. All right, let's go NBA action on this Monday night. Double-digit spread in favor of the Celtics as they welcome in the LA Clippers. Over-under stands at 217 and a hook. The Clippers on the road last night in Philadelphia. Oh boy, Donnie, 26-point victory against your 76ers. Things are bad in Philly. If the Eagles had not won seven straight, there might be a lot of differing conversations in the Philly Sports Talk radio this morning. Meanwhile, the Celtics just keep doing what we expect out of the reigning champs. They're 14-3. They've won five in a row.
Yeah, and by the way, again, the NBA, stop with the back-to-backs at this point. Let's get the best of both teams that are going to be entering in this situation. One thing I have liked about the Clippers, though, Ben, bringing that defense here, because it's very rare that you're going to line this game up and say, we opened up at 220.5 as a total here in New Jersey on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Oh, would that go to 222, 224 this morning? No, it went down to 217.5, and even other outlets, Ben, showing 217 flats, and I agree with that here. I don't know how much we have left in the tank for both of these teams. Do I want to bet against the Boston Celtics? No, I don't. But they're also laying double digits here. But also the Clippers on the road. Good performance yesterday. Who even shows up in that starting lineup today? Is James Harden going to be all that effective here? A little bit older in the legs. I'll probably still take the 10 points. But I got to tell you, I agree with the line move down. I'm more comfortable taking the under 217.5. And that's crazy to say in a Celtics game.
Both teams have won five consecutive games. The Clippers lost their first four games inside the Intuit Dome before this road trip now out to the East Coast. They won seven straight at home. The Celtics have been a double-digit favorite, double-digit times, 10 in fact this season, 4-6 against the number. Let's head to altitude where the Nuggets will play host to the Knicks tonight. Denver, 4-point home favorite, total of 232. What do you like?
Taking a look at anytime you're going to give me the New York Knicks, the upside is so massive at this point. And you see that line to me. And again, this is a Knicks line. Even though it opened up at 3.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook in New Jersey, has now climbed the 4. I'm going to take the points with the Knicks tonight in elevation. And how about this, BSS? You might not even need those points. It might be outright for the Knicks. Give me the New York Knicks tonight against the Denver Nuggets.
Ooh, a little outright dog conversation. Yeah, Nikola Jokic back outright to the lineup after missing a couple of games on Friday night. He continues to be a near triple-double machine, 33-17-10, albeit in a loss to the Mavs. The shorthanded Mavericks without Luka Doncic, 34-13-8 over the weekend against the LA Lakers. Quickly, Kings and Thunder tonight in Sacramento. You got to play?
Yeah, give me the Kings. Give me the Kings getting points at home. The plus 4.5, I'll take it. 222.5. How about maybe even an overlook there as well? But give me light the beam tonight. How about maybe an outright winner there for the Kings as well?
This guy likes the underdog. Prop perspective on a Monday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is over there on the right, and the man in the middle, TV Tom Vecchio, here to provide that prop perspective for Monday Night Football in the Harbaugh, the Battle of the Brothers tonight in Los Angeles. Jim and his Chargers, John and his Ravens tonight inside SoFi Stadium. Vecchio, before we dive into the game, a thank you and a welcome, as always, for being here on this Monday.
Of course. Thanks for having me. We are in for a great game tonight. Like you said, it's the Harbaugh Bowl. Apparently, you're the first person to ever report that, because I didn't know that. No one talked about it coming into this week. But, theatrics aside, Like, this is a massive, massive game in terms of the AFC standings for the wild card. The Ravens are kind of reeling right now. They need to right the ship. And I see this game leaning towards the under. Again, these teams need to figure things out. I have a very specific approach when I want to come to this game. And I ultimately, I do think this is probably one of the tougher primetime games that we've had, because the strength of both teams on offense, at least, is running the ball. And that's the strength of the opposing defenses. So we actually could be in for a bit more of a passing game time, which is not something you necessarily expect from these offenses.
Yeah, so Vecchio, yeah, let's start with those. Oh, go ahead, Donnie. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, let it rip, man. We were hot right there. I got a good laugh.
I would never interrupt you. Never interrupt
Now, if we were looking,
go.
Tom,
would never.
There's eye in this game up, because I completely agree with you the way it sets up on the defenses. So my eye goes to Justin Herbert, 263.5 yards. For me, I used the number with 250 with Ben saying, I don't think the Chargers can win this football game if he throws for less than 250. If we look at the quarterback perspective between these two guys here, who are you aiming for tonight to have a lot of use out of that arm?
I really like Herbert tonight, and this goes along with the game script that I'm anticipating. And so I would specifically look to Herbert. I think his yards are fine, totally fine. You could certainly go there, but I actually like him specifically over 21.5 completions. Last week versus the Bengals was the first time this season his completion percentage was under 50%. So we have to take that into account. Next up, the Ravens. They're only allowing 77 rushing yards per game. That's the second best in the league. So what are we looking at from the Chargers offense tonight? It's like, okay, let's kind of reel things in. We may not be able to move the ball on the ground. Let's get Herbert back going. Let's be an efficient offense tonight, right? He doesn't have to throw for 350 yards, whatever, but let's get the ball moving. Let's pick up some first downs. Let's get the completions. We still see the Ravens 10th in the league when it comes to total blitzes this season. So we have Herbert looking to move the ball efficiently, and we have to worry about Ladd McConkey. He's listed as questionable, but getting the ball out quickly, picking up some easy first downs, I think will be a path for the Chargers to win if they're not able to move the ball on the ground. So again, buying into like, oh, this is actually an important game regardless of the Harbaugh Bowl being a thing. Like, these teams need to win for the standings. So let's have Herbert show the quarterback that he's really evolved into this season. He started off the year super slow, but this is the time for him to be a very effective quarterback at moving the ball.
And oddly enough, Vecchio, despite going over this passing yards prop, in fact, 279 or more in four of the last five games for the Bolts, he's only actually had 21 completions or more just once in that four-game sample size. On the other side, Lamar Jackson, still the second-best price to win the NFL MVP award, the two-time NFL MVP winner. As we look at this game, and we see a total of 50.5 with that spread now at just 2.5, we expect points. We expect a tight and competitive game. What will the flock need out of Lamar in that offense to keep pace in LA tonight?
I think the easiest route to go would be the combined passing plus rushing for Lamar. They may not be able to move the ball as effectively as some may assume with Derrick Henry. So we're going to see a little bit of pressure on Lamar. He should be able to move the ball, I would say, somewhat decently in the air, as we saw last week with the Bengals offense. He has the options on offense. They're fully healthy. They're ready to roll. But ultimately, I like his rushing plus passing. That's always the best way to go, because he's going to have the designed run plays. He's going to have enough passing. And if they do fall behind, which I think is certainly possible considering how they struggled over the past few weeks, the passing yards will be there for him. So unders on Derrick Henry are very tough to take, but that may be a route to go. And Justice Hill in the passing game could actually be a solid option for the Ravens tonight.
We saw a lot of points yesterday in SoFi. This game, once again, will be played in SoFi. It's great. In the end of November, not have to worry about any weather conditions here and have a perfect playing field. We'll see how it plays out. Now, some of the equalizers that could end up and say, hey, ground control is key. Derrick Henry tonight, 84.5 is his rushing prop on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. On the opposite side, J.K. Dobbins at 47.5. Are there any running backs that you want to attack more than others here tonight, Tom?
You know, I would lean towards the under on Henry rushing attempts. I think we can get to his yards just because how often does he break off a big run for 30 or 40 yards? Like, the yards, I think, are always a little bit easier for Derrick Henry. So I would certainly look there. I think the odds on the running backs and really just the touchdown odds overall are really interesting, because Henry is sitting, the only player sitting at minus money when everyone else is sitting at plus money. And we're dealing with a game that has a 50 over under. So if you are expecting points tonight, outside of Henry, we're getting some decent odds to great odds on a lot of these players. So this is actually a revenge game for not just J.K. Dobbins, but also Gus Edwards, the backup running back for the Chargers. Now, I don't want to be buying into that too much, but both of them should be playing a decent role. Again, this is a very tough matchup defensively in terms of the Ravens' rush defense being awesome, but I expect a good balanced usage out of Dobbins and Edwards tonight, and maybe looking to Henry under on attempts, not just yards.
Derrick Henry in 6 of the 7 wins for the flock this year, at least 92 yards on the ground, but he has not broken through 70 yards running the football the last 2 weeks. Here might be my favorite bet for the night, Vecchio. You talk about some value with an anytime touchdown price in a game that is expected to flirt with 50 total points. J.K. Dobbins has scored a touchdown in 6 of the 7 L.A. wins this year, 8 touchdowns in those 6 games. If L.A. can keep this game close, I think Dobbins might hit Pater. But we are all, I think, expecting maybe some more passing yards tonight than you might anticipate with the Ravens facing the Chargers this season. So, Vecchio, if that is the case, we've talked quarterbacks. Now let's talk their top targets and the receivers for tonight. Which players on either side get your attention?
Yeah, really liking Will Disley, the tight end for the Chargers. Again, Ladd McConkey is listed as questionable. McConkey comes in with a 22% target share, which is the highest on the team, but again, listed as questionable. Disley's at third on the team at 17.3%, so he's really not that far behind, even if we do see Ladd McConkey play. We've seen Disley go over this number in 3 of the last 5 games with 40-plus. 2 of those games were at 80-plus. We see the Ravens, they've allowed 736 receiving yards to tight ends. That's the third most in the league. So again, Disley with a modest to low A-dot average depth of target kind of buys into like, oh, Herbert's going to get the ball quickly. He's going to be efficient tonight. They don't need to take massive shots downfield. Sure, they'll be there at times, but I think moving the ball, getting those first downs, staying away from third and long will be the plan tonight, and Disley will play a key part in that.
Now, Tom, we talk a lot here on TV. They see the graphics. But if the people out there on the radio, let them know once again your top props for tonight in this Monday Night Football showdown.
Yeah, besides Disley over 39.5, the Herbert over 21.5 completions, really liking going to Rashad Bateman over 37.5. He's been over this number in 6 out of 11 games. We could see a decent role for Mark Andrews, who has been up and down. Zay Flowers, I've been kind of hit or miss on this end this season, which is maybe just a personal thing where the games that he has 100-plus yards, I'm betting on the under. The games that he has 11 yards, I'm betting on the over. So I just want to simply stay away from Zay Flowers because he's burned me a few times in the past. But Bateman does play a good role. He really is going to be that, I'm going to say, number two option in the passing game for them. Deontay Johnson isn't playing a role overall in their passing game thus far since he's been acquired. You know, maybe there's a little bit of Mark Andrews, maybe there's a little bit of Isaiah Likely or Justice Hill, but Bateman really should be that solid number two option for Lamar tonight.
Yeah, we could see some yards through the air tonight in SoFi in the Harbaugh, as Vecchio was the first to let us know, between John Harbaugh and the flock and Jim Harbaugh and the Bolts. But to Vecchio's point, an important game for that AFC playoff picture in potentially the wild card chase. Right now, the Chargers would be that top wild card team at 7-3. The Ravens back by just a half game in that loss column at 7-4. The Chargers a dog just twice this year, 0-2 against the spread. The Ravens favored in 10 consecutive games since the opening season defeat against the Kansas City Chiefs. Tom Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for the prop perspective on this Monday morning.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I will see you guys tonight for the pregame show.
Pregame show, postgame show, halftime show. This guy never stops. We continue the Monday Night Breakdown next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Harbaugh on this Monday night in Los Angeles between Jim and his Chargers, John, the older brother, and his Ravens. Baltimore, a favorite tonight on the road in Los Angeles, laying 2.5 points now, the updated number on that spread. Total still remains north of 50 at 50 and a hook. DRS, let's just start with the numbers because, again, whether it's 3 or 2.5 in favor of the flock, the odds makers are expecting one of the best games of this week, one of the best games of this month, of this season in the NFL. If it is going to be decided by 3 points or less, and we might see 50 combined points on the scoreboard, That's an instant classic of a Monday night game, and then you add in the narrative of this brother battle. Just how good do you expect Monday night to be inside SoFi Stadium?
I think it's going to be a great game. I do. And the one thing that we hate to watch as handicappers is, ooh, when is this weather going to hit? Case in point, you watch that game against Cleveland and Pittsburgh. It looked great in the first half, and it was a disaster in the second half. And from my angle in that game, hey, why not take the over in the first half because the weather's coming in? It was the exact opposite. Nobody scored in the first half. Everybody scored, and it was terrible weather. So setting this game up, it's interesting to see that 50.5 number, which we expect both of these quarterbacks who have decent prop numbers here to sort of get after it. But if we're looking at the any touchdown market tonight, Ben, Derrick Henry's a minus 210. He's always going to be that high. The expectations are he scores. J.K. Dobbins is a minus 105. Remove the two running backs from the equation. We're expecting some fireworks from the quarterbacks. Everybody. Great numbers, Ben. Ladd McConkey, plus 145. Zay Flowers, plus 180. Quentin Johnston, plus 210. You know, take a look at Mark Andrews, plus 240. Disley, plus 310. Like, this might be one of the markets you really want to attack, because if the anticipation is for what? Around, let's just say, 6 to 7 touchdowns with that total, somebody's got to get in other than the running backs here. And you're getting a darn good price for those guys.
Yeah, for sure, DRS. I think it's a really good point that Vecchio made that you are also alluding to there. 50.5 is that total in only now two guys, as J.K. Dobbins' price has moved ever so slightly into even a slight minus money component, even at plus 140 or less. It is those two running backs. And that's what's so interesting about the breakdown and the preview of this game. If I were to tell you Baltimore and L.A., you think, all right, they are going to establish that run. Derrick Henry, 150 and two scores against this Chargers defense that also is top 10 in defending the run, in the best scoring defense entering the Monday night finale of week number 12, only allowing just a tick over two touchdowns per game. The Ravens are an elite defense slowing down the run, second best in the NFL. Although Dr. Chow did let us know that front seven perhaps a little bit more banged up for Baltimore than it has been at any other point this season. The Ravens are not good at slowing down scoring on the other side. Baltimore, one of the worst scoring defenses in the National Football League, bottom 10. And as you look at that total, DRS, it is why it is so high. The Ravens have played to the over in 9 of 11 games this season.
And it feels like we have the ability to get some big plays. A market that I don't explore all that much, Ben, is the longest pass catchers of the game, or let's just say longest completion of the game by either team. If we're looking at Justin Herbert, one of the best arms in football, you know that play action is going to be there against that vulnerable secondary of the Baltimore Ravens. On the opposite side, Lamar Jackson has had some fantastic football games, not only throwing for multiple yardage, throwing for deep shots, and more importantly, a lot of touchdowns. So maybe the juice comes from me where you think it's going to be a ground and pound game, which both of these teams want to, but sort of playing opposite that by saying, you know what, I got two really good quarterbacks with chances to light up some secondaries here, and maybe that's the angle to play in this game. And once again, late November, not worried about any weather conditions here. So it's like, oh, no, Benny, had him deep 40 yards down the field. The wind blew it out of bounds or toward the center of the field. Not the case. These two guys can really launch it.
DRS, like I did a couple of weeks ago when it was the Ravens and the Bengals on that short week Thursday night game, I parlayed the two quarterbacks, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, to each throw two or more passing touchdowns. They did. I kind of look at this spot again with the expected offensive output and think the same. Justin Herbert over his passing yards prop now at 263.5 in 4 of the previous 5 games for LA. They have been airing it out so much more, but still not expecting all of that much out of Justin Herbert. Lamar Jackson, right? 7 wins this year for Baltimore in the last 5 and 5 of the last 7, but all of the previous 5. Lamar Jackson has thrown for at least 280 yards and has 3+ passing touchdowns, DRS, in 4 of those 5 wins. And the Ravens are still a slight favorite on the road tonight. You've really kind of talked me into it. The only debate that I will give you credit for on this Monday, I think it's an aerial attack tonight in Los Angeles.
It could be. And also, again, starting with the quarterbacks here, so many times you only think of Lamar Jackson as, oh, he's a great runner. Take a look at the last 3 or 4 games here for Justin Herbert. 4 carries for 49 yards. Then he had the 1-3 carries for 2 yards. Yeah. But after that, 9 for 32 and a touchdown, 5 for 65. So banged up to start the year, right, Ben, with that ankle injury. Oh, no. Is that going to affect him? He looks really good running the football. So I'm going to have to intact what I used to, you know, play in the previous times. Primetime games, take both of the quarterbacks over their rushing props. and parlay it together, this might have a legitimate chance. Because again, we look at Lamar Jackson, but don't keep out Herbert. Guy's running here, man. He is.
For sure. I thought Tom Vecchio made a great point about Rashad Bateman again in those five recent wins for Baltimore where Lamar has thrown for at least 280. Mm-hmm. And four of the five, Bateman 54 yards or more. His prop 39 and a hook. J.K. Dobbins has scored in six of seven games for the Chargers. That price now minus 105. You don't have to pay nearly as much of a burden as you do for the juice for the king to find pay dirt at minus 210. I will say, though, DRS, Derrick Henry, yeah, at least 92 yards in six of seven wins for Baltimore. Ridiculous. This season. And you see that prop, but maybe it's not a Derrick Henry night, and Baltimore still comes out with a victory in Los Angeles.
Exactly. You're not getting any bargains here. And that's sometimes what like the shop for like, hey, that's a legitimate number they can get. You're basically saying Derrick Henry is going to get the century mark tonight, which, again, isn't a bad bet because he typically gets at least around there and a touchdown. But you see the anytime touchdown market, minus 210. You see the carries, got to get to 18. If that game script is there, he'll have a lot of chances to run. And also, the Baltimore Ravens on deck on a Monday night game. The Eagles are already flying back to the East Coast. The Eagles and the Ravens next Sunday will be fantastic. Ooh. Let's see if they could they save Henry a little bit for next week. Nah, probably not. They're getting after it tonight, no doubt.
It's going to be a great game. DRS, enjoy the money line. Have a very happy Thanksgiving. I guess I'll talk to you next week, man. It's been a long time.
That argument
even
today, lose
when
my
we
number.
Get mad at
lose,
each other.
Lose my number.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Thanksgiving just a few days away, of course, you probably first and foremost think of the Turkey Day triple header in the National Football League. In week number 12 coming to a close tonight on a Monday in Los Angeles. But as we shared last week, it is also that stage of the early portion of a college basketball season where you see great non-conference tournaments and invitationals. Feast week has begun. And Feast Week picks up in a big way on this Monday with the premier early season tournament in men's college hoops. The Maui Invitational begins today. And of course, last year, the tournament was played not in Maui, not at the Lahaina Convention Center. It was played over in Oahu because last August in 2023, devastating and tragic wildfires, of course, really ravaged the area of downtown Lahaina, killing more than 100 people, displacing many, many more. So as the community continues to rebuild, they moved the tournament away from the Lahaina Convention, or the Civic Center, excuse me, where it has been a staple of early season college basketball, and made the correct decision to move it to Oahu. But today, it returns to the island of Maui. It returns to the Lahaina Civic Center. You will see coaches in Hawaiian shirts. You will see lays around the broadcasters and teams. In college sport, or really sport at its best, brings people together. It helps revitalize a community. It will be an emotional yet impactful week as the 2024 Maui Invitational returns to that island. It is going to be a ton of fun, and the field feels fitting for it. It is a great, great eight-team tournament that will face off in Maui over these next coming days. UConn is the favorite, as they are the national championship favorites and the two-time reigning title winners at plus 170. But Auburn, they've already got some more key victories this year, like going into Houston despite their travel woes and knocking off the Cougs. North Carolina, Iowa State, Michigan State, a Memphis team that has been a little bit tumultuous but still can play some good ball, and two tournament teams from a season ago in the Dayton Flyers and the Colorado Buffaloes. What an invitational it is going to be. Again, the significance of being back in Lahaina, That is a beautiful thing. The basketball that we will see should also be a remarkable and beautiful sight. It starts bright and early on this Monday in the Maui Invitational. 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, the first game tips. That's like 9:30 a.m. local time, maybe even 8:30 a.m. local time, depending on daylight savings. 9:30 a.m. local time. I just did the math in my head. For UConn, taking on Memphis. 8.5-point spread in favor of Dan Hurley's Huskies. This will be the first, well, I'm not going to call Memphis a power conference team. They play in the American. Technically, they are not. But not your run-of-the-mill mid-major that UConn has seen this year. They have been dominant as they are in non-conference action. If you expect that non-conference dominance to continue for a UConn team that is winning non-conference matchups by nearly 30 points per game, 8.5 might not be enough. And Dan Hurley will have the Huskies ready to play, 149.5 being that total. Michigan State, 8.5-point favorite as well, taking on Tad Boyle and the Buffs, 144.5 is that total. How about a top five tilt? Although Iowa State probably going to move back in the AP top 25 by the time they tip tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern between the Cyclones and the Tigers. Auburn, 3.5-point favorite against ISU. 146.5 is that total. If the Cyclones stay in the game, I think you see some great defensive effort out of TJ Otzelberger and his Iowa State team. 146.5 is a number to pay attention to. North Carolina, 7.5-point favorite against the Dayton Flyers. 154.5 is that total. Those are the four games that we have on this Monday in the Maui Invitational. We will see these teams continue to play against one another, both in the winners and losers bracket throughout this week at the Lahaina Civic Center. And again, it is just going to be a great, great sight. The community of Lahaina, the island of Maui, continues to rebuild. But they are very glad to welcome back in one of the staples of a college basketball early season. Just really a college basketball season of any point in the Maui Invitational. It is going to be absolutely electric and albeit emotional and important. That does it for a Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. We'll be back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time here on TEL.